having me for another Sunday. It's wonderful to be here, as always. Growing up in Norfolk, Virginia, Yvonne grew up in a family and community that poured out love, encouragement, and dignity upon her. Her grandmother and great-grandmother were known to have an ancestral gift of what she calls flowing the boundaries, of living in the spirit world, where she could talk and commune and live with those who had passed on. She had thought growing and was told throughout her life growing up that she has a gift as well, and was often told that she was called to do something important. It was during her junior and senior years of college, she joined the movement to nonviolently protest the segregation laws by sitting at the lunch counter at a Woolworths. She was actually trained to deal with this, to deal with the nonstop name-calling, pushing her off and down her seat, being pushed around day after day. After a while, though, even in her training, she wondered if she would be up to it. It wears your spirit down. But she, when the time came, she also remembered the strength and grit of other leaders such as Rosa Parks. She also thought of her ancestors, her family and community, who had poured her and surrounded her with love and strength, and power, agility to navigate these inhumane systems of power. Her family would say to her what is known as an African proverb that says, "It does not matter what they call you, but what matters is what you answer to." She answered to the name calling and intimidation with strength, with determination, with love, and the Spirit of God with her. She also later answered God's call into ministry with the United Church of Christ. This is the story of Reverend Yvonne Delk, the first African-American woman ordained in the UCC. After 40 years of ministry, she is now telling her story. She is but one of many untold stories that are among us every day. In addition to Father's Day, today is also Juneteenth, where on this date in 1865, Union General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas, to declare that those who were still enslaved were in fact free, and that the Confederacy of the rule of the Confederacy had ended. On that day, 250,000 people were freed, beginning what would be a celebration of Freedom Day, known as Juneteenth. This is the common story that's told about Juneteenth. But yet, there is more to that story as well. It's more of a shadow side For one, slaves were already free under the Emancipation Proclamation. It just wasn't recognized by the Confederate States. Emancipation had to be enforced by Union soldiers. If the general wanted to just let people know that, you know, okay, slavery has ended, he could have just sent a telegram back then. But he needed to be there and to enforce the law to make sure slavers would stop and free their slaves. After the first few celebrations of Juneteenth, the celebration was suppressed, and the people, the former slaves, were scattering to find their family that they had been so long separated from. To this day, it makes me wonder, are we free? Going back to our gospel lesson, Jesus sees and exorcises the demons called Legion, because there were many of them. He sees this person on the wrong side of town in a cave, naked and chained, because the people were afraid that he would let loose and go wild. But Jesus saw the face of God in this person. Jesus knew that he was not on the right side of town. Jesus knew he was in a place across the lake where he would not be welcome. But he came anyway. People even witnessed this and brought others to see what had happened. And when they came back, the man was sitting where he was, clothed, and sitting calmly. This healing, this happening, this event was not in a vacuum. It happened in community. What happened to this person could not have been done without the witnessing. The people, the community had to see it because they knew, and well, couldn't believe it as well. Once that person was free, the other people were free of this perceived danger that this man who was possessed could no longer hurt them or others. But given all this, that they were free from this fear, they were still angry. They were mad at Jesus and drove Jesus out of town. They were fearful. Freedom can be fearful because the town is no longer in control of this person. They can no longer chain this person. Don't even have a name for this person. Jesus took this power and control away from them. Here was this stranger from a strange land here to disrupt their life. So they were angry. Then, on top of that, Jesus took away everything that they knew about their town life, and that there was this person who had demons that was a danger to them, that they could It also took away what humanity is. To say what was considered an other thing, something to be reviled and feared, had suddenly become a human, who then would be left there to witness to the goodness of Jesus. Well, and thinking about slaves that were suddenly free, I mean, of course the slave owners would be angry. They had lost their way of life. They had lost their power and control. What was considered a non-being, considered cattle or livestock, was now considered free. They could not control these former slaves anymore. So, of course, what would they do? Slave owners would find other ways to find power and control. And this has continued a cycle of trying to control, trying to have power over those who were considered non-human. To now see this person who had demons, to now see former slaves as human, Jesus gives us a message of radical love. Jesus reaches out to those who are marginalized, those who are ignored or feared, and says, "Come with me. I see you. I see you as an image of God." This is the radical love of Jesus. Jesus and the gospel is a radical thing, even in our context today, when books are starting to be banned, when LGBTQIA communities are continued to be threatened. It is harder to love than it is to hate. It's easy to hate because then you see whoever is the norm of society can see themselves as superior, to see themselves and give themselves control. Because in truth, to love means to be vulnerable. To be vulnerable to the idea that maybe somebody who is different than you is maybe also a human being. To see the love of God in people that society does not see. In our gospel lesson, the person who has a demon probably today would be considered a person who has a mental health illness. And for a long time, those with severe mental health issues were locked away and never to see the light of day. They were seen as other. This idea of radical love of Jesus is still radical today. And then we turn to our passage from Galatians. The most notable one is probably one that we hear over and over again when we talk about community. When we hear, there is neither Jew or Greek, there is neither slave or free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What a radical love. It is the understanding that my freedom, the love of God that is shown to me, is also shown to you. Because this person here is free of hate, of being reviled or being a point of ridicule, being seen as different, pushed aside, put down. That when they are free, those who ignored, whose stories are told, who is put into the light, as seen as an image of God, makes us free, made Garrison free when the person was freed. But are we free today? Over a month ago, 10 African Americans were killed at a top supermarket in Buffalo. Children being killed in Uvalde, Texas. LGBTQIA celebrations being threatened by violence. Are we free? It's amazing that such an ancient text, thousands of years old, asks us this very real and important and relevant question. Are we free? Are we free when there is a bad side of town that you don't go to? Are we free when we feel danger from other humans? Are we free when people are free to hate? Nobody is free until everybody is free. Amen.